This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, it's time to talk to our guy Jensen Lewis here on Sharp Money. Of course, Jensen pitched for Cleveland 7-10, career ERA of 3.68. My man does a great job, and he's trying to figure out if he's going to lay it with Liberty today, a mismatch against Middle Tennessee State. However, Liberty hasn't played anybody. I know they haven't lost a game, but can they beat and cover the big number there against Middle Tennessee State? We shall find out. Jensen Lewis, of course, you can hear him on the broadcast Major League Baseball Network radio this Friday, 7 to 10 Eastern time, as we say hi to Jensen. Hi, Jensen. How are you, buddy?
Patrick, if you're out there, buddy, I can see you moving,
Jensen.
But
we got him, big guy.
Can't hear you, but good to be back with you guys. Hope all is well. And boy, what a first couple of days of not only the ALCS, but the NLCS as well.
The having some audio there on Jensen's end. I don't know if he could hear me or not, but I know he was having some difficulty there catching Patrick. But tell you what, guys, when you look at this LCS. This Texas Rangers team, Jensen, I don't know if you can quantify a team that has literally trailed for half an inning against the Orioles, give up two runs, then they come back with a five spot. That's it. Not in 63 innings, that's all they've trailed.
Yeah, it's remarkable, Amal. And, I think the crazy thing about this ALCS thus far is, as you said, the kind of continuing dominance of not only, the Texas Rangers offense, but it's been the early offense, too, where they've been able to get out in front and have some stellar starting pitching. I think also when you've only had to use the three relievers and Spores and Chapman and Jose Leclerc, I mean, they're in real prime position now with the off day, being able to go back, having Max Scherzer coming in at game three to start. You've got Heaney probably set up for game four. And then if you really need to dig a little bit deeper, Dane Dunning can come in for Max Scherzer if he doesn't get any length there. But guys, the biggest stat for me, and this is remarkable knowing that Houston has been so good away from Minute Maid Park, being down 0-2, teams are 0-21 when they've trailed down 0-2 in LCS here in MLB history. So, if the defending champs are going to get back in and defend the title, they're going to have to overcome some serious history.
Yeah, Jensen, you brought up a great point, which segues me into my next question, which is this is a team that was 39-42 at home, but 51-30 on the road. How much of a factor is that for you when you look at the rest of the series? Max Scherzer hasn't pitched in several weeks. He's coming off the shelf now with an opportunity against the Houston team. Even though they lost by the combined three runs, it feels like they're a play or two away from being really flipping the series.
Yeah, and
we lost Jensen there. We're going to get him back up and running. Issues okay with his connection. Patrick is back, so things situated.
You guys got me?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see Jensen almost like pantomiming. I could see his lips moving, so maybe I could ask question based off that, but I couldn't hear him. I could hear Amal Shaw, and boy, were those hard-hitting questions. So good job by you, Amal Shaw, picking up the slack. Hey, you know what I want? I'm going to do – I've got an echo in my ear right now here, Sean, just if we can – whenever you get a chance. Hey, Dave Dombrowski, I wanted to bring this up, Amal. He is – and I don't know if you can think of a president or general manager that immediately comes to mind that you could say, hey, this guy's better. But I think Dave Dombrowski, who is the Phillies president right now, is the greatest general manager or president in the history of Major League Baseball. Think about what Dombrowski's done. 97, he won a World Series with the Marlins. Two World Series appearances with the Tigers in 06 and 12. He then went to Boston and won a World Series in 18. And now he's in year three with the Phillies. He won the NL last year and a good opportunity this year. So that's four different teams potentially to the World Series. That's pretty impressive as far as a resume.
Oh, it's as good as it gets, right? The only person I think comparable at the executive level would be in the NBA, Jerry West. Other than that, I think he is peerless in what he's done in Major League Baseball.
Okay, let's see. I think it looks like we have Jensen back. Jensen Lewis, Major League Baseball Network Radio on Sirius XM, of course, a big friend of the show. Jensen, you got us?
All right, I got you, big guy. I was seeing you moving too, and I could see your lips move. I couldn't hear you, so all good, big guy. Good to talk to you again.
Okay, nice to see you. I could see your lips moving, and I knew you were saying good things because that's what Jensen Lewis does. Okay, I just brought up Dave Dombrowski. I don't know if you ever worked with or he traded for you or you've run across him, but think about his success. Marlins in 97 World Series. Two World Series appearances with the Tigers. They've been a disaster since he left. World Series with Boston in 18. And this is year three with the Phillies, and they won the NL last year. That's a resume that's beyond reproach.
Yeah, Patrick, to think about where he came from and knowing that he had, you know, the Yelich family behind him in Detroit and had, you know, really just a star-studded group there with that rotation of Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer in the middle of the order there with Magaly Ordóñez and Victor Martinez, Miggy Cabrera, Torii Hunter. And then to be able to move on to Boston and then also into Philly and where he's currently constructed it, you know, ironically now with the balanced schedule, we get a chance to see all those teams come in. And Philly this year was coming into Cleveland, so had a chance to talk with him very briefly. And, you know, he's a guy that's hands-on, man. He's there. He loves to see his product in person, but he's also not afraid to go make those big-time moves. And I think you go all the way back to the beginning of the season where Trey Turner was that big-ticket item, and, man, it did not look good. But there's a reason why you have your stars be able to crescendo throughout a six-month season. And the biggest key for me was getting Bryce Harper back. You go back to that point and that kind of inflection situation where when Harper was back, it felt like that plus the billboard, which got Trey Turner to be able to relax and play, that's it. And this is a team without Rhys Hoskins right now. Think about how ridiculous this team would be if you had a healthy Rhys Hoskins contributing for the majority of the season. It's remarkable what they've been able to do, but man alive, guys. And I tweeted this out yesterday watching game one. My rookie year was 07. We got a chance to play in old Yankee Stadium there against the Yankees, and that's a 62,000 capacity there. That's the loudest road environment I'd ever played in my career, no question about it. Watching last night, and even more so kind of throughout this postseason so far, I would give Citizens Bank, the way they're going right now, a pretty good run for old Yankee Stadium's money. I mean, it's been electric beyond belief.
Jensen, it just seems like the Phillies are a different class compared to the Diamondbacks. Yes, the Diamondbacks' front two pitchers are probably slightly better when you think about what they're capable of doing. But now you lose this game last night. You've got Brandon Pfaadt potentially in game three. You've got Merrill Kelly on the bump tonight. Are they really capable of coming through in this series? It seems like it's going to be an uphill battle, even though they're only down 1-0.
Yeah, well, it might be uphill, but if there's a team that has the opportunity to kind of counterpunch the way they've been swinging the bats, I think it is Arizona. And it was very surprised yesterday, you know, with Torii Lovello not sending Corbin Carroll in the first inning, trying to create some chaos there. I think they get back to their DNA tonight. I think if they get runners on, they're going to press the issue. They're going to try and get some long innings there early from Aaron Nola. We'll find out a lot about Merrill Kelly that first time through the order too, because remember, guys, he's on a little bit of an extended rest here too, and we'll see where his fastball command and the off speed are. If he's crisp that first time around, I think Arizona has got an opportunity. One other stat to think about, guys. Nola, I think, over a 7.5 career ERA against Arizona, one of the worst teams he's ever pitched against. And knowing that it is a must win for Arizona, it wouldn't shock me if they kind of play with a little reckless abandon tonight to try and even up the series.
I was going to say, Jensen, I love Kelly in this spot tonight with Arizona. I mean, you're getting plus 145 at a couple of shops with Arizona. And while Nola has kind of corrected it in the postseason, I like the advantage here with Kelly. And I don't know if it's leverage that the D-backs can use, but they saw Dominguez, they saw Alvarado, they saw Kimbrel last night. Maybe, look, they got three runs off of four hits. There's something to that, no?
Yeah, and their home run came from their guy at the bottom of the order in Perdomo. And so to think about that, even if you wanted to jump on him on the run line here just to kind of save face there in case it's a really close game, and it could. I mean, Patrick, you're so right to think about where Merrill Kelly and Nola are. If they're on, runs are going to be at a premium, and you feel good if you're Arizona too. I'm glad you brought it up. Alvarado had to get in, out, sit down, get back up. I doubt that Rob Thompson wants to run him out for multiple innings tonight. They got to look at Sir Anthony Dominguez. Kimbrel kind of lost it there in the ninth inning for a little bit. Arizona had the tying run to the plate in the last three innings. So, yeah, it didn't look good early, but I think they've got, with a rested bullpen pretty much, you'll probably see two innings out of Ginkle tonight. You could probably see an extension there of Saul Frank. Remember, none of the Phillies hitters saw him last night, so that's advantage Torii Lovello and the Diamondbacks. If Kelly kind of labors a little bit early but can minimize damage, Would not be surprised if Troy Lovello extends some of his relief corps.
Jensen, how difficult is it pitching in weather that's below 60 degrees when you get into late October and other things? Because we talk about the totals quite a bit, and generally it seems like the colder it is, the more impact it has on offenses.
Amal, not hard for us Midwestern boys. This is our home turf. And the colder it gets, the more exciting we are, man. Here's the difference, because the ball travels pretty well at Citizens Bank there, and how that lineup is constructed for the Phillies. Still, if you feel like you get it in the air, the ball is going to go a little bit. So I lean the under tonight. If you can get it at 8, I wouldn't mind the push there. If it's 7.5, that's hard for me to look at. But I just think last night it was a real premeditated effort by Philly to get after Zach Gallen's first good fastball. I mean, of course, you saw Schwarber the first pitch, Harper the first pitch, Castellanos going the other way early. I think Merrill Kelly makes a concerted effort to stay out of the big part of the plate. Would not be surprised if there might be an intentional walk or two, maybe one to Harper with the base open, maybe Castellanos. I mean, guy's got 5 homers in his last 3 games. So I think they pick their spots. You're probably going to put this on Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott to have to try and beat you, maybe Brandon Marsh at the bottom of the lineup.
Jensen, you're the best. I heard you and Dustin talking about it. Are you going to lay the number with Liberty tonight?
I tell you who I like even better. I like South Alabama, -17. Let's run it up there.
Southern Miss is a disaster. I agree with you. Jensen Lewis, you're the best. Major League Baseball Network Radio there on SiriusXM. Thank you. Appreciate you battling through those technical difficulties. Thanks, Jensen.
You got it, boys. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's come back with some college football. We've got 3 games tonight.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, I was just reading about my Detroit Pistons in the 2023 NBA betting guide. Youngest team in the NBA. It's going to be a long year. However, to get you prepared, we've got you covered. 2023 NBA betting guide is out. Make sure you check it out. You get up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props as well, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from our very own senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel. Make sure you check it out. It's a great, great guide. Check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's going to be a long year for my Pistons, boys, as Cunningham makes his return, tries to gel with your boy Durin and Jaden Ivey. The average age of the starters, I believe, is less than 22 years old.
Wow.
So that's young, and it's the youngest team across the NBA. So it's going to be a long year for the Pistons. They've got a bunch of weird bigs like Wiseman, who just is a turnover machine. Durin, we mentioned, but really it comes down to Cade Cunningham in the backcourt, kind of meshing with Jaden Ivey. Being able to potentially shoot the ball is going to be an issue. Ausar Thompson, who they drafted. Remember, the Pistons only won 17 games last year, but they slipped to 5 in the draft. Disgusting.
But hey,
they took Ausar Thompson.
It's going to be a cold winter in Detroit, and you'll have plenty of beef stew to keep you warm.
I live in Hermosa Beach, so I don't care what my family's doing in Detroit. They can eat all the beef they want. Good luck with that, Mom. Okay, boys, we've got plenty to do. We've got our first ever Sharp Money Power Rankings coming up, a snake draft from worst to first in the NFL. Looking forward to that. Also going to be joined by our very own quarterback insider, does a great job, Tim Jenkins. So looking forward to that. Our buddy, where's Berkey? Berkey on Tuesdays usually joins us. You can check out the podcast over at VSiN.com every single day from our managing editor. He usually joins us on Tuesdays, but he's out today. So we'll get by without Berkey. He'll join us next week. 3 games as far as college football coming up tonight, boys. And I want to start here, Middle Tennessee State and Liberty. So you take a look at the number, and it's actually dipped down to 14. So 2 touchdowns. It was 14.5 at DraftKings earlier. 56.5. This is a total mismatch. Now, the only thing you're looking at with the 6-0 Liberty team is they haven't played anybody. like legitimately haven't played anybody. So you wonder, is that a little bit misleading as far as a 6-0 record? But they're playing a Middle Tennessee State team where they have an advantage on both sides of the ball. Middle Tennessee State, we've seen them plenty. They're 2-5, not very good. Again, Liberty coming off the win over Jacksonville State. Middle Tennessee State, and here's the difference to me in the game tonight, boys, and I'll let you run with it. They struggled to defend explosive plays, and Kadon Salter's 14 touchdowns, 2 picks. What they like to do, Liberty, is they'll go heavy on the run, and then they'll try to connect on those explosive plays, and they're very good at it and throwing the football explosively. So I like the advantage Liberty has. We're showing La Tech on the screen. I like, there we go. 15 is the number we're showing. We're down to 14 in the market. If you can get a 2-touchdown situation like we see right now over at DraftKings, I'd lay it with Liberty. I think they've got an advantage here with the explosive plays against a bad Middle Tennessee defense.
Yeah, the other thing is I like the way this Liberty team is balanced. You mentioned Salter and what he's been able to do, but the thing is he's a legitimate dual threat. Already has 337 yards on the ground, but Quentin Cooley's been outstanding, nearly 600 yards, averaging 6 yards per carry. And then Daniels and Sibley, they've been very well balanced, both of these guys at over 385 yards apiece. So I think the real challenge for Middle Tennessee is can they keep up in terms of scoring and then limit the big plays, as you alluded to. I don't know if the Blue Raiders can necessarily do that. This Middle Tennessee team is in some serious trouble here. I think it's going to be time for a change there in Murfreesboro with Rick Stockstill. I think it's time to start moving on and moving forward.
I know you're playing this, big guy.
Yeah,
I know
full disclosure, I've been way off on Middle Tennessee the last 2 weeks. I thought them and Jacksonville State would be an under game. We had 75 points scored. I bet Louisiana Tech last week, and Louisiana Tech lost outright to Middle Tennessee. But this is one of those deals where Liberty is the class of the group of fives. Like, they are them, South Alabama, like, they are just a different breed when it comes to that level of football. Scoring margins plus 66 this year for Liberty, 13th on offense and yards per play. They're great on third down. Their defense is really good too. 27th in yards per play allowed on defense, 19th nationally in scoring defense. And for Middle Tennessee, that's the key. Is Liberty's going to score, but I the key to the bet is that I think their defense is going to shut down a Middle Tennessee offense that doesn't finish drives. They throw the ball a ton, but they're 97th in yards per play. And Vadiato, the quarterback, is worse on the road than he is at home. I think this is a deal where Liberty can score a bunch and limit what Middle Tennessee can do offensively. So I'm laying it.
Yeah, I'm laying it too. My only question about Liberty is they haven't been tested.
Yes.
You look at who they played. Like, I think Middle Tennessee State started with Alabama.
And Missouri. and Colorado State.
Colorado State. So they've definitely been tested. It's just Liberty down to 14. That's interesting because it was 14.5 right before we started. Another interesting number, if you were just to take a look, boys, Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State. You're like, hold on now. You've got a 4-2 Western Kentucky team. That offense isn't the same at a 5-2 Jacksonville State team. However, Western Kentucky's laying 7.5, more than a touchdown on the road. What's happening here? It's very simple, because this number opened 4.5. It's been bet up through a touchdown, 7.5. The injuries with Jacksonville State in week 7. Zion Webb and Smothers, the two quarterbacks, they both have big question marks next to their name, boys. And also Malik Jackson, the running back. That's what they like to do, is run the football with the quarterbacks. And Malik Jackson there at Jacksonville State, he is doubtful. The running back's doubtful. The quarterbacks are questionable. So that is why we've seen this number jump from 4.5 all the way up to 7.5 there with Western Kentucky laying it.
Yeah, you mentioned it with the running back situation. Jackson probably not going to play. Ron Wiggins already out with the chest injury. This is a tough spot for the Gamecocks here going up against Western Kentucky. Austin Reed hasn't been as good as maybe anticipated. At least I thought he was going to be this year. He's still been a very effective. I mean, the numbers from a touchdown INT ratio are very good, 14-3. But it seems like this offense has not been clicking the way we've seen some of the Hilltoppers offenses in the past. But I think this is a good opportunity. The one concern I have from a WKU perspective is they're bad against the run. They give up better than 190 yards per game on the ground. But again, Patrick referenced it, the injuries right now, when you look at it from a Gamecocks perspective, it's going to be tough with Jackson probably not going to go and Wiggins already out on the ground. So if they fall behind, I think this is where WKU has a great shot, because it could push Jacksonville State into a passing situation.
Yeah, and to make things confusing for you trying to bet this game, Rich Rod named Logan Smothers, Zion Webb, and Ashton Fry as the co-starters on the depth chart tonight. Zion Webb's dealing with a concussion. Logan Smothers, the transfer from Nebraska, is dealing with an ankle injury. He wants to run the ball more, so him wanting to run on the bum ankle is why that number's going up if he ends up being the guy. This is one of those deals where I just don't see Jacksonville State being able to hang in a shootout, which potentially Western Kentucky could do. If Jacksonville State was fully healthy, I would think about backing them here because Western Kentucky's been bad against the run. USF ran for 374, Ohio State 204, Troy 172, over 130 the last 2 weeks against in-conference teams. This is big for Western Kentucky, though. That's why I'm going to lay the points here. If they can eliminate Jacksonville State, hand them their second loss, that'll make next week's game, Western Kentucky versus Liberty, a preview of what could potentially be the Conference USA championship game. Also, I like Western Kentucky getting right offensively, getting things back in sync off of a bye. Lay the points. I think that's the right play.
Okay, donkey-de-donk. Next one. We heard Jensen talking about a big guy, Amal, and that is Southern Miss at South Alabama. This is a terrible matchup for Southern. Southern Miss is garbage on offense, and South Alabama actually a very good defense. You see the number, they're laying what, 18.5 at DraftKings 52. Good luck if you want to take Southern Miss. Have you seen them play? They're gross.
Yeah, this is a team that really can't stop a lot of people. We saw Arkansas State put up, the Red Wolves put up 44 against them, but Texas State Bobcats put up 50. There's just some major issues from a defensive standpoint. You mentioned it, 1-5 coming in. How about USA? They go on the road last weekend. They went 55-7 at Monroe. Really a dominating performance in that one. I think the number's sitting at 18 right now. I'm not going to play this game, but if I were to, I'd be more likely to lay it with USA in this particular spot. This is just a bad, bad Southern Miss team this year.
Yeah, I lean under. I don't have a bet on this one. My boy Will Hall's the head coach of Southern Miss, a Division II legend at North Alabama. South Alabama, you know, I think when they lost week one to Tulane, it was a 20-point loss. I think people thought maybe they were wrong judging them from the preseason because they had a ton of sixth-year guys coming back to this team. But then they beat Oklahoma State. They hang with James Madison, who looks like a wagon there. 18's a lot of points. I think South Alabama could just get up and go into cruise control and run it out.
Will Hill struggled so much coaching Southern Miss that he's now hosting on VSiN.
Will Hall.
Oh. What's up with your boy running an offense there at Southern Miss? Can you get him on the horn and say, what's up, Hall? What's going on?
I think the general analysis would be it's not going well.
Good job, big guy. I think you're right. It's going well here on Sharp Money for an hour and a half. We'll see if we can continue. Tim Jenkins, quarterback trainer, next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, make sure you check out the betting splits over at VSiN.com. By far, our most popular tool for subscribers. You get the money and bets for every game updated every 5 minutes now, straight from DraftKings. Today's games and future events as well. Find out where the money doesn't match. Go to check out the betting splits at VSiN.com. Okay, got you back. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. We're going to welcome in our buddy Tim Jenkins, quarterback trainer and film analyst. You got to check him out on YouTube. He does a great job. If you like football, you'll like Tim Jenkins' breakdowns. All things QB on YouTube. Of course, the Elite Academy, T. Jenkins Elite on Twitter. And he joins us. Hi, Tim. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What's the buzz? We were having a conversation. We can start here. We were talking about Arizona State. Those are two schools when you talk about college football that people always expect to be better just because of, well, a multitude of reasons. Let's put it that way. And then how about Colorado? There was a lot of juice there in Boulder. For those that don't know, Tim Jenkins lives in Colorado. And then what the hell was that against Stanford? You can't take an L there, Tim.
Yeah, so first and foremost, U of A ASU should be good, right? Walking around campus, it'd be hard to not get an 18-year-old dumbass to commit. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so
true.
I think the reality is if you can't recruit the U of A or ASU, we got to get you out of there. So Boulder, yeah, I mean, I think, like, listen, I think we got to give credit to Dion for the positive things. And then you also got to give him blame for you go into halftime. It kind of more or less feels like your team checks out at that point, and then you let one of the craziest comebacks happen. So listen, my father-in-law, he's a huge wait for someone to get down and then bet on the plus 800s, right? He's like why everyone's building yes. casinos out yes. there by you guys. He is perfect. You know, you go to his win loss and I don't know how he stays in the positive, but he does. So I'm surprised he did not take Stanford at that point. However, he didn't, right? Fell asleep on the couch. He's snoring. And then all of a sudden Stanford comes roaring back. I just think the reality is I'm not completely positive that CU and Dion's team are ready for that kind of spotlight yet. I think they will get there. I just think we kind of got excited about TCU and some other things that fell their way, and they're just not quite that team yet.
It's a great point you make there. This team blows a 29-point lead in case people missed it on Friday night. Let's go to a quarterback who you recently looked at. Trevor Lawrence plays on Thursday, has a knee injury. Just from your perspective as a former quarterback, how difficult is it in this 72 to 96 hour window to get ready and go play an opponent whose defense is as competitive as the Saints? And then if you're Jacksonville, big picture wise, would you look to potentially say, hey, it'd be bad to lose a game, but if we were to rest him, we got probably a much healthier Trevor Lawrence moving forward in 10 more days?
Especially 17 game season now, yeah. Right? We're not talking, not that I guess one is that big of a deal, but we have a long season. I think you probably have to consider shutting him down for a Thursday night game. In terms of preparation, you're putting in, it's really a training camp level offense. You're hoping we have enough two beaters, three beaters, quarter beaters. You want a good selection because you don't know what game plan they're going to come out for you with. You want a really good 4 to 5 play selection based on each coverage shell. And then on these short turnarounds, you'll dress them up formationally. So what I mean by that is, hey, we might run, we call it bingo, where you have the basic with the post on the same side, 12 yard in with a 12 yard post behind it. You can try to get that quarter safety to come up. We'll take the big shot. So you might put in bingo this week, but you'll put it out at in, out at 2x2. Hey, motion to 3x1. Hey, we're going to start in 3x1, motion to 2x2, and still run bingo to where the defense, it looks like 17 different concepts. For you, you really have a shorter install for your guys. So that way your guys can play fast. To me, Thursday night football is all about playing fast. If as a coach, you can get your guys dialed in to where they're going to go out there and play fast regardless of the game plan they face, you probably have a better shot at winning than if you're going to try to actually scheme this thing up like you would for a Sunday game. It's just not feasible. So to me, I think you limit your menu, you make sure you have beaters for coverage types, you dress them up with formation, and you tell your guys, hey, we're going to go out there and win because you're better football players than they are, right? That's really what your message has to be. And then you give them a shorter playbook to where they can play faster.
Our buddy Tim Jenkins, QB guru, trainer. Of course, he trained PJ Walker, picked up a big win at T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. Okay, so I asked them all about this. I want to ask you about it, Tim. Give me a second here. So there was an article on Friday that came out on ESPN where they asked a bunch of anonymous GMs and scouts in the NFL about Caleb Williams. And they said, Caleb Williams, he's going to make Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence look like game managers. And then one scout compared Caleb Williams' running ability to Lamar Jackson. Am I on something? Because I think Caleb Williams is going to be wonderful. First off, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence are spectacular, specifically Burrow at this point. And then Lamar Jackson, nobody's run like him in the history of the world. What are we talking about with Caleb Williams?
We tend to do this, don't we? We get a kid that we like and we start saying stuff about him that makes him unlikable, right? Especially if,
right.
You know, I think when we were talking about Lamar Jackson, right, there was a whole, when people were like, oh, look how he runs. There's a whole group of guys my age that are like, you guys remember Michael Vick, right? Like we sat there and it makes you not like somebody because you're kind of trashing certain guys. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a really good pro. Here's something that I do want to leave people with. There is the difference between playing. I don't want to use this comparison as this would be my comparison because I haven't done a full film study on the kid. What I will tell you is, I don't know if you guys remember Johnny Football coming out. What were the plays that you remembered? They were all the, hey, he jumps, he teabags his left guard, he spins out, he throws it against
off
Duke,
schedule.
Right? Or, hey, he throws it up in the middle of the field to Mike Evans, right? Those are the kind of plays you remember. Caleb Williams is a little bit cut from the same cloth. Now, I think he's obviously better from the pocket than, say, Johnny. But we do have to temper our expectations a little bit when you sit there and you go, we've yet to really come across a guy that we say, hey, off schedule is how he's winning Super Bowls. You could make the argument that Mahomes is, right? That those off schedule plays win Super Bowls. Simultaneously, it'd be a lie because we're sitting there and 85% of the time he's playing from the pocket all the time, right? So to me, Caleb Williams, we got to temper the expectations. I think he's going to obviously be a fantastic pro just on the limited stuff I've watched of him. But yeah, when you sit there and you start saying he's going to run like Lamar Jackson, I just, you know, hey, he's a former GM for a reason, right? I'm a former pro QB because I used to hit linebackers in the chest when they were playing curl flat. He's a former GM for a reason because he said Caleb Williams runs like Lamar Jackson, you know?
And by the way, I grew up, and Amal knows this, Michael Vick, I've never seen a better college quarterback. He was so exciting. But Lamar Jackson, no offense to Vick, is even on another level. I mean, would you guys agree with me? Lamar Jackson's just a different guy running the football.
Vick, straight line speed was so much fun to watch, Tim. But Lamar, you can't tackle in a phone booth.
No. I'm just old school. Like, listen, I think, I'm the guy who I sit there and I fight all my young coaches. You know, we have 10 locations across the country. I got 10, 24-year-olds telling me LeBron James is great. And I'm like, hey, did you watch Jordan? Right? I'm just old school. I just yell at him about it. So, no, I think, Mike, I mean, obviously Lamar has done incredible things. And we also have to be honest about the level of athlete that Lamar is facing compared to Mike, right? I mean, athletes just keep getting better and better. And Lamar's making world-class athletes look stupid. And you're right, in tight spaces. It's not even like he's got the whole field to work with. So Lamar is different, which then makes the Caleb Williams thing even more ridiculous. When you watch him, you know, he more or less couldn't really run away from some gold helmets, which aren't always the most athletic guys.
By the way, Tim, I would consider firing those guys. If they're not intelligent enough to work for you or you and they think that LeBron's the greatest, that to me shows a lack of intelligence. That's just my perspective on that one. But, you know, I want to get back to Caleb.
And integrity. You can't have integrity like that on your staff, can you?
Not at all. Absolutely right. You know, you guys
can't play with them.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's your Mike Singletary line. Can't play with them. Can't win with them. Caleb's great, but, you know, we saw some of the criticism of C.J. Stroud coming out that Fields and Haskins in that Ryan Day system. What about the fact that when you look at Lincoln Riley, two other number one overall picks, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, they haven't been great?
To me, the system stuff is tough because those systems work in college for a reason. They're simple. You can adjust on the fly against the covered shell, and you're going to play with so much tempo that you simplify defenses, which is the polar opposite of the NFL. No one has ever come into the league and been like, you know what, I was successful in the NFL because we played fast against simple defenses, right? It just doesn't happen. They're going to show you a million coverage shells that you've never seen before. To me, that was a little bit of a knock on Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was one of the first guys that I said, hey, I'm going to take a look at his whole season. Go pull down the Clemson Wake Forest tape. It was the only time the kid saw any sort of rotational shell, and he struggled a little bit. And I'd make the argument that it's still something that he needs to process better, where they start two shell snap to three, and he needs to know, hey, I've got Calvin Ridley backside one-on-one. So these are the things that I think we have to pay attention with some of these simpler systems where they've got to pay more attention to not playing fast and really actually processing the defense.
Nobody's better than Tim Jenkins talking quarterbacks or basketball. We'll talk to you next week, Tim. All things QB on Twitter, on YouTube, and at TJenkinsElite on Twitter. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Shout out to DraftKings right now. And it's the I actually saw this special when I was watching the NFL on Sunday. And I'm like, that is a great deal. Oh, yeah. We talk about it daily. Bet $5 to get $200 instantly in free bets. You can't beat it. That's for new customers. You got to use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. No sweat. Same game parlay. That's every day over at DraftKings. DraftKings, the crown is yours. The big guy, Amal Shaw, of course, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson there, downtown Las Vegas at the D. We're going to have our first ever Sharp Money power ratings as far as the NFL. We're going to snake it, go from bottom to first. Amal Shaw's got an angle on betting the NFL coming up in just a second. I will just comment. One, love talking to Tim Jenkins. And for those that don't know, Jenkins is legit. We just had him on. He's the quarterback trainer, film analyst, all things QB on YouTube. He trained PJ Walker, who just picked up a win against the 3.5-1 favorite to win a championship going into that game in the San Francisco 49ers. And he was just talking about, he just did a breakdown of the backup there with the Bears, right, big guy?
Yeah, my guy from Tyson Badgett from Division II, Shippensburg, I believe.
Shippensburg?
Yeah, what city, first of all, what state do you
think?
Sounds
like Pennsylvania.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought as well. Shippensburg, maybe he's not Shippensburg. Where did he go to school? Shepherd. He went to Shepherd. Knew it was an SH. Shepherd University.
So, sounds like the Carolinas or somewhere.
You're close. You're close. You have a guess what state Shepherd's in?
Shepherd sounds like, okay, I'll say Virginia.
Yep.
West Virginia.
Oh, I thought Virginia was going to be the right
Take
answer.
Take me home.
It's the best song ever written.
We opened with shtick. I opened with singing. You weren't here on Friday because you're lazy. But Amal and I were both on West Virginia. We had to open up a sports betting show. It was either open with West Virginia, Houston, or open with who'd Kansas City play last
Denver.
Thursday?
Ugh. Yeah, the Broncos.
Have you seen? Can you convince? Was that the broadcast that Herb Street? And we already know he hates doing the NFL game, but he said during the broadcast, I was just at Oregon, Washington yesterday. And while, no, excuse me,
he said
during
that,
the Washington, Oregon broadcast, he said on the broadcast, I was just at Kansas City for Kansas City, Denver. And while I love calling NFL games, I got to be honest, there's nothing like the atmosphere here at Washington, Oregon. We're like, no kidding. Herb Street legitimately is taking, he's, I don't know what he needs to take to sit there with Al on Thursdays, but it's not going well.
I can tell
the
you,
juice is not there in the booth.
When he made that comment during the Huskies game on Saturday, I thought I was going to quote Patrick Maher. He gone. I thought the NFL was going to be like, he's like out.
He was begging to get fired.
Oh, my God.
But it's an obvious lie. Like, it's the you don't love calling the NFL. You love the paychecks
absolutely.
Of calling the NFL.
But if we're being fair, like, again, and we joke about this being a Cowboys house here at VSiN, that's a big win going into a bye at 4-2 for the Cowboys. But that got with the officiating last night. It got unwatchable. Like there was just, you could never catch a rhythm in that game last night. There were flags, literally 20 penalties, but it felt like they were condensed. I don't know if you guys know what I mean, but it felt like they were just coming one after another. I'm like, there is no rhythm to this game right now. And two teams that are actually quite entertaining to watch in the Cowboys and Chargers.
Was that Lan Clark doing the game last night, the referee? All I know
it was ugly.
It was just every time you turn around, he's on the TV screen. It could be confusing it with the Sunday night game, but regardless, it was
yeah,
just
I don't know who
many.
It was. It was one of the, he was one of the yoked out guys that I didn't recognize. That's another thing with the officials. They're doing shtick where they're all just
yes.
absolutely old men that are yoked. Like, take it easy, boys. Okay, we know you P90X. Chill out.
We just
speaking
like,
of which,
you're a bad ref. You know what the new your name.
Do you know what the new P90X is? It's the Mark Wahlberg one.
Obviously, I don't.
You guys, it's like F45.
Oh no, that's a low. There, it's a chain. It's like Orange Theory. Oh, he owns it. There's one right by my house. I was thinking about going, but then realized that.
Well, that's where he lives, right by your house.
I probably have.
You know
a heart
Mark
attack.
Wahlberg. What you know, that? Marky Mark lives in Summerlin.
Yeah, there was big drama because he sold his place like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and everyone was freaking out. He just moved here a year ago. Why is he already leaving? And then he had to then release a statement where he's like, I didn't leave. I just moved to another house. Like, guys, it was like, relax.
Yeah, what's the workout video? How to beat an Asian?
What?
You don't know
what?
The story about him? Oh, my God. He absolutely just destroyed some Vietnamese guy in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely.
Hey, Amal. Anyway, you've got a like, How do you guys, how would anybody transition? Ian Eagle couldn't work his way through that transition. Okay. And they pay me fine, but not enough to transition from that. However, this is actually pretty astute by our buddy Amal Shaw here. And you're talking specifically NFL betting, right, Amal?
Correct.
Through
yeah.
6 weeks, 93 games have been played as far as the NFL schedule is concerned. And you've got an angle here. And really what it comes down to is don't overthink it.
Yeah. Absolutely right, Patrick, when you look at it. So when we sit there and we talk about line moves, obviously a justification if a line moves from 3.5 or 3 to 4, you're concerned about it. But at the end of the day, stop sweating it so much. If you like or love the game, make the play. Patrick, so far 93 games have been played through 6 weeks. We've had six teams with a bye so far. And in those 93 games, 80 of the games have won, either been won by the underdog outright or the favorite has won and covered. In the 13 games where the spread has mattered, only in 7 of those has the line movement mattered. Perfect example, remember the Minnesota-Philadelphia game on Thursday Night Football? 34-28 final score for the Eagles at the link. That line came down from 7.5 to about 6, 6.5, depending on where you got the number. So that's what I'm talking about. Those, there's not a ton of these games where they're impacted by the number. I know we preach that just endlessly at this network, but really, it comes down to pick the side you like. I see so many people make money line bets, whether it be the NFL or even college football. And Patrick, you take a look at the college football games, Ohio State against Purdue, Florida State against Syracuse. People get so wrapped up in, well, I don't want to lay 18 with Florida State or 19, whatever the number is. At the end of the day, if you like that side, chances are if they're going to win the game, they're going to cover, even if it's a larger number. But in the NFL, it's been such a crucial part and element of it. I will say one thing, though, keep in mind. The Thursday and Sunday and Monday night games, 3 of the 7 line moves have been impacted in these games. So be a little bit more cautious. Don't just bet it because it's on TV. If you like it, play it. But the line moves have impacted those matchups more so than they have the other games that we've seen throughout the course of the season. But again, pick the winner. If you can pick the winner, if it's a team you like, you're going to end up probably on the correct side of it. The only week where the majority of these games out of 13 guys came in week number 2. We had 5 of these scenarios. Giants are an example, right? They were getting 14.5, 15 against Buffalo. They end up losing the game by 5 points. That's one of the 13 that fell in that parameter. But if you can just pick a side, you're probably going to win your bet if whichever side you like to win it.
Okay, so again, just to be clear, through 6 weeks, 93 games have been played. We're talking NFL. 13 of those 93 games, a team losing has covered the spread. So, for example, we can just give you the Giants catching 15 at Buffalo and losing 9-14. So, obviously, a cover there. So, don't worry about the number. And then you're saying, of the 13 games, the spread movement. So, we're talking steam with the yeah. 7 of yeah. those games? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, exactly. For example, the Houston-Atlanta game, it came down from 3 to, I think, 2, and that one, or 2.5. But where a movement of the number could actually impact your bet. The Kansas City-Denver game last Thursday night, it went from 11.5, I think, to 10.5 on the closing number. So if you had gotten Denver at 11.5, obviously the better number, and then it closed at 10.5, you might have lost. And obviously you want to get the best of the number, right? If you're buying a stock, you want to get the lowest price. But the point is, don't be intimidated by the move. I think, Patrick, we see it too often. For example, Seattle and Cincinnati on Sunday, it went from 2.5 to 3, and I heard some people say, well, I'm not going to play the Bengals now. Why? If you like them at 2.5, why do you not still like them at 3? Okay, yes, you might end up with a push at 3, but the reality of it is, are they really going to win the game by 3 points? They end up winning by 4, so you get the cover. All I'm saying is don't be deterred or fearful of the line movement in terms of if you really like a play.
Okay. Wonderful. And speaking of a number, we've got a game coming up on Thursday. Dustin, did you just send me an update on Trevor Lawrence? Because that number, Jacksonville at New Orleans, right now DraftKings is showing 1. But obviously, a lot of this is going to hinge upon the quarterback status there with Jacksonville.
Yeah, it looks like it is a minor knee sprain. But he told reporters a little bit ago that he's optimistic that he is going to play on the short week.
That is going to be the determining factor for so many games this week. And that is, will they or won't they starting quarterbacks play or not?
But
right?
Unders have been so hot. I would just bet all the unders at this point. And the way things are going, even when they're healthy, the unders are cashing. If they're banged up and the backup comes in, you're in a better spot.
Can we go through? Can we do this during the break? I think yes. That was the Saints' 12th straight under. Let's go through and see if we can check that out. I want to fact check myself. I believe it was the 12th straight. And you see a number 39 coming up on Thursday night with the Jags and Saints. Our power ratings next.